We carry into this room so many cares and concerns, personal worries, concerns about people we love. We hold in our hearts, too, people we don't even know, people who suffer on the streets of our own city, people who suffer in lands far away. It can be dispiriting, disheartening, exhausting. And so we do what we can to recharge, to plug our souls into whatever gives us that strength to keep on loving with hearts and arms wide open. We breathe in peace so we can breathe out love. Let us share in a moment of quiet together. Then I invite you to join the choir as you feel moved in singing our meditation on breathing. We will start with a full minute of silence. Breathe in. She gave us her own bed. She was Dana, Shauna's friend from university, whom I was just getting to know. It was relatively early in my relationship with Shauna, and we were on a little road trip visiting various people we knew in North Carolina. Dana was born and raised much further south in Atlanta, Georgia, and one of the first things I learned from her was the meaning of Southern hospitality. That year, she was staying in this little one-bedroom apartment. She did not make a lot of money, but she shared what she had happily with no sense of keeping score. She was the kind of person who would buy coffee, sugar, and cream to have it ready for your visit, even if she herself only drank plain herbal tea. She met us at the door with a warm welcome, offered refreshments, like the kids say, don't let them starve, then showed us to our room, her room, the only bedroom in the house. The bed was one of those luxurious oases of rest, plenty of fluffy pillows, soft, fresh-smelling sheets, hospital corners, I'm sure, and a crinkly down comforter. Dana gave us her own bed, and she slept in the living room on the couch. But it wasn't just her hospitable actions. Southern hospitality was in her way of being. Dana was self-possessed and confident, comfortable in her own skin. At the same time, she exhibited a good measure of humility. She readily and with good humor revealed glimpses of her own imperfections and vulnerability. Not in a needy way, but in a way that let you know that you need not hide your own vulnerability. She offered a sense of acceptance, a sense of camaraderie in the awkward, sometimes painful business of being human. She liked and accepted herself, and from this grounded, authentic place, she could lean into getting to know others with warm and genuine interest. When I think of what welcome feels like, I think of Shauna's friend Dana. Maybe you too know people like this, people who have a gift for hospitality, a gift for making you feel welcome as you are, with their deeds and with their attitude. Another word I use to describe this sort of person is warm. Who in your life would you describe as warm? One person that comes immediately to my mind, and I got permission to mention him, is church member Don Vipond. Whether he's known you for years or is meeting you for the first time, Don has this lovely way of smiling at you with gentle kindness in his eyes that quietly accepts you as you are and extends to you genuine interest, compassion, and care. Warm, welcoming. Some of you may have noticed in the September newsletter a list of questions for you to ponder as we study this month's theme of welcome. One of the questions was, what does being welcomed feel like in your body? I wonder what your answers are. Consider it for a moment. Picture yourself in the presence of someone who welcomes you with that open-hearted warmth. How does that make you feel? I've been asking around and pondering that question myself, and a couple of things seem to rise to the fore. For many of us, when we feel welcomed, we relax. Our shoulders drop down, our bodies rest at ease, a smile comes more readily to our faces. The effects are similar to the effects of deep breathing. The frantic swirling in our mind slows. We find it easier to be present in the moment. A second effect of warm welcome is reduced self-consciousness. When you feel welcomed as you are, there's a sense that you can be yourself without much thought to how others may perceive or judge you. There's no need for masks or walls, or that self-monitoring that functions like a nanny cam, giving you an imagined report of how you may appear to others. I don't know, maybe I'm the only one with that nanny cam in my head. Furthermore, many of us find that when we shed that layer of self-consciousness, when we loosen the grip of keeping up appearances and let go of that preoccupation with ourselves, we discover that we have more energy available to be genuinely interested in other people. And here we see that a warm welcome has a certain power to inspire mutuality. I don't know about you, but if someone offers me a warm welcome, I find it easier to relax into that place in which I can be friendly and warm right back. This dynamic of mutuality reminds me of Martin Buber's I-Thou theology. Some people say God is up there. Some people say there is a God force, a divine light in here. Martin Buber was interested in the divine force that occurs in relationship. In particular, Buber proposed that the divine can be found in that relational space in which I have an open and authentic interaction with you, or thou. Buber used the word thou instead of you to specify interactions in which the other is being honored and valued for their inherent worth. It's a mutual honoring, like the exchange of the Hindu greeting namaste. The sacred in me honors the sacred in you. In this way, offering and receiving welcome can indeed be a spiritual practice. The first principle of Unitarian Universalism is to affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person. As I mentioned to the kids, the spiritual practice on which we are focusing this month, welcoming, is the enactment of that principle. The subtitle we've chosen, The Practice of Opening Your Heart, may be a bit daunting to some. I'd like to reassure you, we're not talking about sharing your most intimate self with everyone you know, nor are we talking about enveloping every stranger in love and hugs. I am aware that we are in British Columbia. I've watched enough Masterpiece Theater and lived in New England enough to know a bit about British Reserve. And as many of you know, I am an introvert. Also, though I am a fairly open person, I too have my limits. I remember, for example, how uncomfortable it felt to be prodded by the inquiring gaze of the father of a friend of mine in high school. The dad was a rather arrogant person and a psychologist by trade, and he had the most uncanny and unwelcome way of looking into people. It was like he tried to see into your soul. My own instinctive response was, "No, thank you, that's my soul, not for your viewing." I'd quickly avert my gaze to cut the connection. One must be respectful of people's boundaries. A true welcome does not pry. A true welcome is open to receive whatever the other cares to share. This kind of welcome can be offered by introverts and extroverts alike. It does not require you to be someone you are not. It is whatever open-heartedness naturally happens for you when you relax into your authentic self. The I-thou connection of mutual human camaraderie, the namaste of mutual human regard. Of course, most of us are neither warm and welcoming all the time, nor are we cold and aloof all the time. Most of us have inhabited the full spectrum of the range. The question is not, are you or are you not a warm and welcoming person? The question is, under what conditions are you able to be your warm and welcoming self? What opens your heart? What closes your heart? Let's look at the negative side of that range first. What closes down your own heart? When is it hard for you to be warm and welcoming? A common answer is when I am stressed or tired or just plain busy. One of my mother's friends, we'll call her Marie, told me of many years ago when she was a busy working mom, her neighbor who had been ill and lived alone asked Marie if Marie could give her a ride to the bagel store. Marie was nice enough. She worked the task into her errand schedule. But Marie says she only later realized that the neighbor must have wanted more than just a bagel. The neighbor was looking for company, an outing, conversation, the comfort of human connection. Marie says that at the time she was so busy she didn't even think of that. And consequently, she wasn't particularly warm or open-hearted with the neighbor. There was no I-thou connection for either of them that day. A young person I know said that his heart closes when he gets annoyed, which for him happens quite a lot. He experiences these spirals of negative thinking, I can't believe so-and-so did such-and-such. Ugh! And now my plan to do this and that is ruined. This is the worst day ever. Even if the precipitating event is long over, and even if others are making friendly overtures, moving on with different plans, this young person remains stuck in the trench of annoyance and negativity. His heart remains tightly closed. No opening for I, thou, there either. A couple of people with whom I spoke mentioned how their own judgments can block open-heartedness. It happens with strangers as well as people they know. Oh, so-and-so, he's always so self-involved. Or, wow, those women at the supermarket are so annoying. Listen to them complaining about the bad weather they had on their cruise. Must be nice to be the 1%. Or, look at those American tourists dressing their kids in camouflage. So militaristic. It is easy to judge. Being open to other possibilities takes more energy. Maybe the self-involved man just got his heart broken. Maybe the women bemoaning the bad weather had saved for years to go on that cruise to celebrate their friend's 10 years of remission from breast cancer. Maybe the American tourists were pacifists who received the kids' clothes as a gift from the grandpa who was also on the trip with them. I will ask you to remember this when our son grows into the outfit that my aunt gave him this summer. My point is, our judgments can shut down the possibility for I, thou, or namaste before one word of greeting is even spoken. Many of us find ourselves on the negative end of the welcome spectrum when we are not getting our own needs met. We are tired or stressed or cranky. Instinctively, we assume a closed, self-protective posture. It's not that we are bad people. It is hard to be open when resources are scarce and our emotional reserves are low. Time for replenishment. So what replenishes and renews your spirit? What helps you to get back into that open-hearted space? I already shared at the animal blessing a few weeks ago that a quick fix for me is spending time with puppies. Others have told me that their hearts expand in a similar way when they hold a baby. More enduring soul maintenance can be found through yoga, music, art, prayer, meditation, walking in the woods, staring at the ocean, spending time with people who love you, breathing. What works for you? What helps you relax and settle into that open-hearted place out of which you are happy to welcome others? I'd like to close with a little meditation. I invite you to breathe in and breathe out. Take a moment to think about what you are like when you are your most relaxed, most open-hearted self, when you are the you that you enjoy being. If you can, think of a time when it was easy for you to greet someone with a warm smile that conveyed easy acceptance and genuine interest. If you can't come up with a particular instance, Imagine a general scenario. You are relaxed, at ease in your own skin, free of any self-consciousness. In your own way, you convey to someone else that they are welcome in your presence, just the way they are. Take a moment to soak in the scene. Notice how you feel physically and emotionally. Breathe in that sense of ease and goodwill. If you are up for it, see if you can mentally expand that sense of goodwill to those sitting near you right now, just in your mind. Keep breathing. With each breath, see if you can expand the circle of goodwill wider and wider until it extends to every person in this room. Take your time. In this sacred space, everyone, each one of you, is valued for who you are, as you are. Strengthened and renewed by the experience of this truth, may each of us find we are able to carry that open-hearted welcome and acceptance into the larger world. So may it be. The divine in me sees and acknowledges the divine in you.